I guess with business, like, you only get out what you put in, really. And I think that reflects as well, like, even in terms of sales, like, if you don't post for a day, you're probably not going to make a sale.
This is Fat Chats with the Lads.
With your boys Baz, Pricey and Liam.
Let's go.
I'm just trying to do something fun every day.
Never be afraid to go out and see the world.
If you're not into NFTs, you're missing out.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Welcome back to the third episode of Fat Chats for the year. Today we are joined by a girl that does just about everything and all incredibly well. She's a model, designer, business owner, entrepreneur, and just about anything anyone else wants to be all in their 20s. Someone who defines the meaning of hustle and has an incredible work ethic. Residing on the east coast of Australia, but currently over on the better side of the country, we're lucky enough to be joined by our amazing friend, Layla Graham.
Hi, welcome. Guys.
Welcome, Layla. Good. How does that make you feel after that?
Oh, hyped me up.
Gas you up?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Well, how's WA been? You've been here for a little while now.
So good. I'm over here shooting Mahalo's new campaign and it's pretty perfect.
Super
exciting.
Yeah.
That we extended.
So exciting.
Yeah. For a whole week.
What was the reason behind that? Yeah. Just liked it.
Just too good.
We just fell in love with it. It feels like home a bit. And then we rocked up to our shoot campaign. What was it, 2 days ago? And it was just like the worst weather. And we were like, what is this telling us? What is this telling us? And that morning is when we'd extended. So we were like, it was just meant to be that we extended. Otherwise, we would have flown over here and not properly shot it.
Really?
Yeah.
So oh, we're lucky you extended
got
it.
This week as well.
And you're going to go down to Margs and check out a bit of the down south?
Yeah, super
it's
keen.
Beautiful down there.
Yeah.
We'll have to give you some recommendations of beaches to go to and spots to check out.
Yeah. Have you been in Roto yet?
Did
you?
Yeah, we went the other day, but we were on bike. Just like pushy bike.
Yeah, it's normal. We're on an island.
But like we also had a baby.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, so Taylor and stuff over.
Yeah, we couldn't really do like the whole island, but we're going to send it again.
So. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Is there a favourite beach so far you've had in WA? In
the
Perth region?
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm going to say Malaloo because it's like the only one that we've really been to. That was like super blue, but I know that's a bit.
No, we love Malaloo.
Yeah.
There's been so many sharks there at Mal's.
There's been a lot.
Seen?
Yeah.
Have
in the last little while.
Yeah, the tiger shark.
Yeah.
Hectic. Hey.
Sharks for days.
Fully.
Wild.
But anyway, we'll go back a bit to the early days. So maybe tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how life's kind of transitioned into what it is today.
All right. So I grew up along East Coast in a small town called South Australks, like close to Crescent Head. It's an hour between Coffs and like half an hour between Port Macquarie for those that know East Coast. And yeah, I actually dropped out of school 8 weeks before my HSC.
True.
Just I had obviously like some personal family issues go on and it just like really affected me. But I was good at school, but like it just, I don't know, something just was always not right. And whenever anyone asked me what I wanted to do at uni, it was like either law or like nutrition. I just like, yeah, it wasn't anything like fully set in stone. And so when I dropped out, I was like, oh my God, like I have to be doing something. I need a degree in something. So I did a beauty apprenticeship for like 6 months. Absolutely hated it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely hated it. I moved out when I was 17. I had like this little glass box on the water. It's like epic. Doing an apprenticeship. But yeah, I just like always felt like it just wasn't me. Then moved to Newcastle because I decided I was going to go back to uni.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to Newcastle to do a bridging course. Again, I just like constantly felt like I need a degree in something, like just the pressure. Like
Were there people around you at that point as well? Kind of just like,
I kind of put it on myself. I was the only child, so at the time I was like, I want to be the first person in my family to go to university. And I really put that on myself, but yeah, it just like was not for me.
When didn't that change? When did you decide?
Definitely in uni. Like I wasn't 100% going into uni for all the right reasons. I was kind of going in just like, I just felt like I had to. And then, yeah, dropped out of uni within within like 3 months, 4 months. And
sounds
then
like Liam's experience.
It's more like 3 weeks for me.
Yeah, literally.
You lasted longer.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And then, yeah, just dropped out, got a cafe job. It was just like more in like working to make money to travel.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we'd just constantly go all up and down the coast whenever we could. And then COVID hit and I was just like, I don't know, it was a blessing and a curse. I honestly don't feel like I'd be here without COVID. Like,
I think a lot of people could say that, hey.
Yeah. COVID. I obviously my hours got cut a lot and then I just was just like, I didn't want to do something. And yeah, I started the process of designing Mahalo. So that was in like 2020.
Yeah,
2020. And yeah, I just, it was just like kind of sampling to begin with. And then it was just like full, like, yeah, I'm doing this. Like as soon as I got like the samples and like the print and everything. Yeah, it was really.
Before we get into all the details about that, was there like entrepreneurial tendencies that you kind of had early on then? Was it just this desire to do your own thing, or was it kind of just like this stemmed from just a passion once you kind of left school?
Well, all throughout school, I, like, this is before Instagram really kind of like, I mean, I guess it was taking off, but I feel like I was way younger than like, you know, the OGs now. And I wasn't obviously doing Instagram, but I was just like always taking photos. Like, I remember, I think I was like 15 or something. It was a weekend. And I was like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, let's just go take photos.
Yeah, cool.
And she was like, no, you can't just like go somewhere to take photos. You need to experience it first and then you can take your photos.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it was just like she never really understood it. And then, yeah, I guess like my Instagram was always like really aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Through high school, but back then, like, had no idea about it. Just wanted to, like...
So it wasn't really an intention to build social media?
No.
It just kind of happened?
Not at all. I was just, like, really obsessed with making my grid
look good,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Eye
for aesthetic.
Yeah, different story now. I'm just upload whatever. But, and I just... I always felt like I just wanted to do my own thing. And then I went to Hawaii in 2015.
Cool.
I think I was in year 9 or something. My mum and I, we spent like $2,000 Australian on bikinis. And like, we loved it, but I was just like, nah, like we could make something so much cuter than that. Like,
yeah.
And then, so from there, yeah, I've always wanted to do
Started thinking.
And then I guess like my presets as well. Like, I started making my own presets in 2018.
Cool. Okay.
Which is a while ago. That's like 5 years ago.
So were there other people doing the kind of Instagram game early days? Like just... having an aesthetic and friends that you were with that liked kind of playing around with it?
Yeah, I guess it was just more of like a hot chick on the beach, I guess. But I was just more obsessed with like travel and like the colors in my photos and stuff. So that's when I started designing my presets. And this is how naive I was. I didn't realize like the actual potential in selling presets. And so for like a year or two, I was like, no guys, like I'm not selling my presets. Like they're my own signature. Like I'm not selling them. And I just didn't even like really understand the potential. And then I made the decision to sell them and it was like the best decision.
That's so cool.
So that's I guess I had entrepreneur, however you pronounce it.
Entrepreneur. Yeah. You had a lot of tendencies that you wanted to do things.
Tongue twister.
It is a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I did and I didn't in a sense because I was like, I didn't realize the potential in it, but my swimwear honestly would not be here today without it.
It just sounds like you kind of fell into it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I fell into it, and then as soon as I fell into it, I realized, and then that's where everything started.
Yeah.
Expanding.
So were these things all parallel, like coming up together, like all these different interests? You've got, you know, you're owning the business, you're freelancing.
Yeah.
You're also designing some things. Is this all at the same time, or kind of what were you juggling first?
Instagram and modeling was definitely first. Instagram was around. I was doing that since like 2019. And then modeling, I've always been like, mum always said, you're either going to be an actress or a model or something like that in front of the camera. And it's definitely not an actress. modeling, I was just like always in photos, even like as I was like younger, I just had like a lot of like attitude, I guess, in front of the camera. And then, yeah, I got into like heaps of shoots in Newcastle when I was living down there. But yeah, when I moved to Gold Coast, I actually was scouted by... that like my dream agency, and then that's where it just like went crazy.
So they saw you through Instagram, or an agent, like a scout actually found you?
I was in the street in Burley at the fruit shop.
True.
And no way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was just like getting a juice, and I just finished shooting content for Instagram. I was getting a juice and my head agent came up to me and she was like, are you signed? And at the time I was signed with another agency, but they just weren't like fulfilling my needs. And I was like, oh my God, you guys are like my dream agency. They were like, come in first thing Monday, we'll have a meeting, shoot your digis and like go from there. And I was like, oh my God,
no way.
What year was that then?
2022. No, 2021.
Yeah, that is so exciting.
Yeah, hectic. So that's modeling and Instagram definitely came about first.
Cool. Well, what were the early days then, maybe, of the label Mahalo, do you want to talk us through that? Because obviously that's like one of the biggest passions now.
Oh, 100%.
How was that navigating those early days?
It was really, it was hectic. Like I didn't think that I could like get, I don't know, I kind of just like learnt everything myself. And looking back now, I'm like, you just, whatever you want to do, you just have to figure it out really. Like hectic. But yeah, it was in COVID and I was like, I want to do something. I was actually going to do like coconut bowls and like sustainable like nice. Bamboo straws and stuff and just like put my own branding on it. But then I was like, yes, it's like my creativity, but it's also like just for the sake of having a business. I was like, what do you really want to do? And it was always bikinis, like always, but I just never knew how, or I didn't really have like the funds to do so. Like I knew how expensive it was. But then, yeah, I was just like working heaps. I came into a bit of money and then was just like, okay, yeah, gonna do it. And so starting a label, I was like, well, there's so many swimwear labels at the moment. Like it's so saturated. I don't want to just like create a bikini that, you know, like Lahana could just produce and like everyone would just, you know, they already know and trust that brand. So I was like, I'm going to build my brand off prints, like swimwear prints.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had my first swimwear print drafted and it was pretty much perfect like straight away, and I based it off like when designing it, I based it off where I wanted to shoot it, which was the Whitsundays. So yeah, the print had like blue, white and pink in it to like reflect the colors of the Whitsundays, because when I'm designing a collection, I don't know why, but I base it off like a location. So like even with the one that I'm shooting now for my collab with Taylor Salty Bond, she was like, yeah, let's shoot it in East Coast. And I was like, no, vision is West Coast. Like, so,
where do you find all the prints?
So my first print, I actually hand drew myself.
Way.
Yeah. Because I just didn't know how to like articulate what I wanted.
Yeah.
And obviously like when you're in the sampling process, like every change costs money.
Yeah.
So I was like, trying to save money. I was like,
just get it right.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to draw it, send it to you. And so I did a draft, sent her the colors and stuff, and obviously she did the digital drawing and it was pretty perfect. And then I did the samples, and then I think I did two rounds of samples, and then they came, and then I shot it in the Whitsundays and then came back, and I pretty sure I took like a week or two off work, and from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep, I was just on my computer designing the website myself, like just pretty much, and just like making sure like all the back end stuff was like perfect.
There you go.
That's where the hustle began.
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. I think it took about like from sampling, like designing and sampling and production, took about 8 months.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, like from like the time that I spent once I put the samples in and stuff, but like designing it and stuff, like the sketches, it would have been about a year.
Yeah.
Designing
from the initial concept to like actually releasing the collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy because so many people like want to jump into e-com and want to start it.
Yeah.
But they don't actually know what the process involves. You know, they think it's just, oh, I can drop ship this product and like make a bit of extra cash, but there's so much more to it.
100%. And I think like there's so much room for e-com it's so much more effective. I reckon it's more effective than having a shop front these days. Like it's crazy. But, I always knew, because like with having a label, you can either completely design it yourself or you can just have like a ready, like your manufacturers can have like ready designs and you just put your color and label on it. But yeah, that's something that I just wanted to avoid.
Yeah, definitely.
At all costs. And I wanted to make it like completely from scratch. And I think that reflects like when you see someone like at the beach in your designs, you're like, I made that.
That'd be a wild feeling.
Yeah.
How's that feeling?
Hectic. Yeah. It's so hectic. The first time I was at Snapper and this girl was in my bikinis and I was like wanting to go up to her and being like, oh my God. But I literally got so shy and I was like, oh my God, this is so surreal. And I didn't even go up to her. I was like,
oh no.
It's like, oh,
have you gone up to someone though? And been
yeah.
You're wearing my swimwear.
Yeah. Sick. But most of the time they know. So they come up to me and I'm like,
oh, that's so nice.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would you ever get a storefront then, or is that something you're trying to stay away from?
I've looked into it, but it's just, it's risky. Like if you're going to do a storefront, like you've got to do it right and it needs to be in the right spot. But these days, like Instagram, TikTok, it's just so much more effective now. Like, I'd rather put in the extra time and money into like ads and like hustling online than having a shopfront.
Yeah.
But we're stocked in like a few surf stores along the coast, and actually in Bali and the US, which is so random.
That's
yeah,
so cool.
Wow. Yeah, like at just a spa in, I think it's Canada.
Really?
Yeah. How crazy. Wow. I know. It's so random, but like, yeah, it's really good.
Worldwide. Yeah. That is awesome.
It's good.
How have you found having friends and in the industry that obviously model, and, you know, has that been an easy process with the label as well? Like, you're obviously able to wear them, take photos, and that helps promote it as well. Has that side been pretty big on marketing, or are you doing like paid ads and stuff, or what's for someone who has no idea how you market this?
I do have a lot of friends in the industry, which is like really helpful. And they're all been pretty keen to help out. But then I kind of reuse the same models, and I don't know, being in the modeling industry and the Instagram industry and getting paid for that work, but also having the business side of it and having to pay models for that. Like, I, as from like a modeling perspective and a business perspective, I'm like, yeah, you have to pay your models. You have to pay your talent.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously there's heaps of people that are keen to do it for free. But I think, yeah, having being on both sides of the fence, it's like, it's hard. It's hard. It's so hard, because it's like, I would do it for free if it was a good opportunity. But then I'm also like, no, you need to like, you have to pay your talent.
Mm. Yeah.
You've literally got experience from both sides.
Yeah.
Hey? The shooting and editing, as well as the business and the modeling.
Oh, it's everything. Hectic. Like, if I get approached for a job that, like, because I still to this day take on work gifted if I really want to work with them.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't meet my needs, like, I won't accept non-gifted. Like, and I always charge. But then on a business perspective, like, if someone's going to do it for free, obviously, like, oh my God, that's a bonus. But
maybe share some light then for those that are kind of starting like off a little bit and they don't know where to draw that line between free work and being able to actually get paid and like realize how much value they've got
for
brands. Like, how did you find that line for when you were starting like early days on Instagram when you were doing sponsored posts or whatnot?
It honestly, like, I did, like, technically it does kind of depend on like your engagement and like how well you align with a certain brand. But like you do need to know your worth, because like, and people say like, oh, you're just out there taking photos, but it's like, no, like every, like if you've got a big paying job, like you need to do it right. Like, and it all depends on like the weather, like, and if it's not up to standards, like, and you get like a whole brief. So like, it is work, it is your time, but yeah, always like if you develop like a really good relationship with the brand, you can discuss with them.
Yeah.
Accordingly. Like, I always like leave room to negotiate. Cool. But yeah, definitely know your worth. And it is, especially now that it's so big, I feel like everyone knows that there's money in it. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the biggest problem for so many creatives in the industry. They have no idea where to draw that line, and they'll either continue to. Yeah.
And it's not even just like charging for the post. It's like your time, your posting, obviously, your influence, but it's also like their marketing usage as well. Like, you could create a photo for them, charge them $500, and they use it on all their email marketing, and they can make 10 grand from that. You know what I mean? So, and even in modeling now, they charge like usage rights and stuff. So like, if it's like, I know of a story of a girl, and she was a model and she was getting paid 28 grand for the day.
Yeah, day rates are crazy. At like ridiculous levels for those campaigns.
Yeah, like 28 grand just for like, I think it was like a 6-hour shoot. And most of it was just because it was being used on a shopfront internationally.
Yeah.
It's until you hear stories like that where you can actually see where yourself is going as well.
I couldn't comprehend that.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, that's like half of people's yearly income.
Yeah, yeah.
In 6 hours. It's like a tough world to navigate though, with pricing especially. We like recently had to do a billboard and had no idea what to charge for it.
Yeah.
Like, we, Gage Rhodes just had a photo and we were stumped. We were like here for ages. Like, you think you know a lot about the industry, but then you realize you have no idea how to charge stuff that you've never done before.
Yeah.
And everyone struggles with that. So.
And it's hard because you could like severely undercharge for that and then realize.
Oh yeah.
What's actually like.
What it's a constant balance of worrying you're going to miss out on the job for charging too much.
Oh,
but also missing out, also not getting enough for the job.
100%. And I feel like as a creator starting out, that's always like a really big issue. It's like, like you want to charge, but you also don't want to scare them off, so you don't want to overcharge. But yeah, it's hard. It's so hard.
Very tough.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go into something more exciting, which is the space that you've now got, which is your studio.
Yes.
So obviously you were doing all this from home with Mahalo. Do you want to talk about how you ended up having a studio to yourself?
Well, I moved to Gold Coast and set it up in the spare bedroom.
Yeah.
Obviously a much smaller scale of stock. And yeah, I was just like working. It was actually, I kind of miss it because it was just like you could wake up, do your morning routine, come back, have breakfast and just like get straight into work, which I still do, but.
I was lucky enough to see that process.
For like 3 weeks.
For a while. And I'd wake up to banana smoothies every morning.
Oh, like, no, I was telling the girls the other day, you know, you'd go out and you'd make like the best avo and eggs on toast.
And then in return, you'd whip me up a smoothie. And it was unreal.
It was so good. It was actually such a vibe. You missed out.
Yeah, I did. I left early. I should not.
You shouldn't
have. I missed out on everything. It was so, the yacht as well.
Oh, yeah. We missed out on that too. But that was so cute. It was,
it was just me and Sax snuggling on a couch for a little while.
It was such a vibe. It was such a vibe. But yeah, and then I think in Newcastle, when I started shooting Instagram content, there was a few like shoot locations and stuff. And I think, again, that's where like the business mindset came in. And I was like, I'd love to have a shoot location at once, like one point, like an Airbnb villa. But obviously that was like ages to come. And then being in Gold Coast, my Instagram just like grew heaps, so much. And then more work came through. And then I had a friend and she also was a content creator and we kind of just like, we would always take each other's content. And I was like, oh, I need like a new office space, like a kind of like a warehouse vibe for Mahalo, but like I don't need something that big. And I was like, but I would love to run like a shoot location in it as well. And so, yeah, we were looking into commercial properties and within like 2 weeks we got one, we got approved and it was perfect, like, but it, because it is a studio, we were like looking at a few others. And so we like went in there at like 9 a.m, 1 p.m, 4 p.m. like they were so annoyed with us, but we're like, we need to make sure the lighting, we were like, we need to make sure the lighting's good all day round. He was so annoyed with us, but we finally found one and it was like direct sunlight in the morning, but then that really soft glowy light in the afternoon.
Yeah, nice.
And it was perfect. So yeah, we got that. And then we opened it up as her studio space. And so the bookings for that pretty much cover the rent. And then obviously like you profit off on top of that as well. But we've just completely put that back into the business with like new furniture and stuff like that. So yeah, that runs downstairs and then Mahalo's upstairs, which is good. And it's so like, I've met so many amazing like people through that, like creators and stuff that I used to look up to in high school that have come and shot and now like we're friends. It's like been like a really good networking opportunity. It's been really good.
Yeah. So cool to leverage that for connections, because so heaps of people come into the studio that maybe wouldn't have like any need or access to communicate with normally.
100%. And it's just like, I think it also opened me up then about like how much Instagram is a full-time job. Like girls like book out 1 to 2 days every single week just to come and shoot all their content, and whether it's like posting content or just like UGC content, like
so you got regulars.
Regulars.
The schedule.
Wow,
it's hectic. And then like even like big brands like booking it out for campaigns and then like seeing it on their website and stuff, it's like
it's really cool.
That must be so rewarding to see that. And you work a fair bit up in the space as well, don't you?
Yeah,
it's pretty beautiful. Not too
It's pretty good. You had a little privilege of that.
Yeah, a little edit work session.
I remember seeing that actually.
So good.
Yeah.
I loved
it. So cute. A little fridge.
Yeah. I think one time you randomly picked me up from somewhere and just took me to the studio.
Yeah, we just had a little
work. We just had a work sesh. Yeah. And some people were coming in and shooting.
Yeah.
And you were just chilling there.
Yeah, it's a good creative space. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What's the goal with that then? Are you just going to continue to use that to
store Mahalo? We're actually putting it on hold for a bit. Our lease rent, like, because so we signed an 18-month lease, and that is up in March. And so the girl that I run it with is actually moving to Melbourne, and it was something that was really hard for me to deal with. But I went to Bali for 2 months last year, like kind of went through a really heavy stage, and I just like threw everything up in the air. I was like going to Bali, like leaving it up to the universe to show me. And then being over there kind of like redirected me. I'm like, okay, because like this is when we were having this conversation with the studio. And I was like, okay, I think I just like it's been a really good project and I'm just going to put it on hold for a bit and then hustle on Mahalo for this year. And then hopefully next year, obviously as a business expense, I want another space for Mahalo, but I want it to be more of a villa style. Yeah. So I want like an office front, but I want it to have like a villa Airbnb shoot location, more like tropical, like villa vibes.
So still in like Goldie area?
Yeah. Yep. So that's what's
have you started
next
looking
for
places? So.
Well, no, because I'm going to have to probably renovate and everything, but that's what's on. That's what's next.
Yeah.
Wow, that's super.
Yeah, because it was so hard for me to like let go of the studio because I felt like a bit of a failure. But it's like it's not that it's failing at all. It's just like the chapters ending. Yeah. And for where I want it to go, it would need to be a bigger space anyway. And commercial property at the moment in Gold Coast is just hectic.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
All right, we have a controversial topic. We want to know.
Slapped himself in the nose with it.
What the best water bottles are? This is the content we need. Yetis or Frank Green?
I'm Team Frank.
I was Team Frank, but now I'm Team Yeti.
I mean, I'm on the I think Frank's the aesthetic. Does it keep it cold?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, Frank, definitely Frank.
Yeah, but I think Yeti would probably keep it cold as well.
Yeah, but Frank's more aesthetic.
So yeah, I think Frank. So too.
Tool, we'll leave it to you guys.
Let us know.
Hit us up, flick us a message and let us know. We'd be interested. But moving forward, let's have a chat about what you've got planned for the future. Maybe this year, some goals
any
going
travel?
Forward. Any travel plan for you guys? Or?
Well, the next week, just extended. But I mean, nothing in the works yet. I do definitely want to do another stint in our winter getaway. I don't know. Yeah, we're deciding between like, I probably want to go Bali again. I mean, maybe, just probably not for as long as what we did.
Yeah, you went for a very long time. Like, I met you for how long were we there for?
Like a week.
Was it only a week we were there?
Come to Europe.
Don't put it past me. Don't know. I do definitely want to get somewhere though, but somewhere new. Yeah. But I feel like I'm overseas right now, so.
True, it's a whole new world over here.
Yeah, like looking on the Google Maps, I'm like, this is so foreign to me.
Really?
But you said it felt like home.
Yeah.
So, wow.
I know.
So we've got another crew heading into the Calais.
Yeah, no. Apartments. It's I feel like I'm overseas right now. But goals for this year, I'm hoping to drop an extra, like at least two collections for Mahalo. I think last year I dropped like three. So hoping to drop about five this year. And I'm also currently sampling for clothing, so.
Cool.
Would you expand the team?
Oh, 100%. So, I actually have a TikTok manager.
Wow.
Yeah, she's great. She's she lives in Cooley. She's such a vibe. Her and her boyfriend like surf all the time and stuff. So I pay her. She just takes full reign of the TikTok. I pay her to shoot the content, organize other girls to shoot with her, edit, post.
Is she with an agency or she's just by herself?
No, she's freelance. Cool. She does Instagram and modeling as well, but she is like kind of working in a cafe, but I feel like this is like her next step of moving forward. But I definitely will need to expand. I want to get someone on board to do my email marketing, so that's something that I'm looking into for sure.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
And so obviously the new studio space and trying to think about that, see what the future looks like.
Live at the moment, my TikTok girl, she is also about to jump on board with managing the studio, like cleaning it in between bookings and stuff like that.
Exciting.
Yeah, I need to I'll probably just train her up as well, just to pack the orders and stuff as well. So
yeah, she's gonna scale up everything.
Yeah, I mean, I could put someone else on for that, but I feel like, I don't know, if I can help her by giving her more hours so that she can fully leave a cafe job and do what she loves, then I would rather just put her on full time than put someone else on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to hit us with some words of wisdom and advice for anyone that may be like 4 or 5 years behind where you are and talk to your younger self a little bit? See what
you'd
speak
like,
to them about?
Yeah. I don't want to like come off in the wrong way or anything, but it's something that I wish I knew when I was in high school, probably in year 10 or year 11. apart from like the social aspect of high school, like if you get to your prelim years and you know that you don't want to go to uni, I wouldn't do it. Like if you know that you want to do something creative, or you want your own business, or you want to do something that has nothing to do with going to university, I personally wouldn't do it. I would just, yeah, that's what, I think that set me back a couple of years. Obviously everyone's different and their whole high school experience is different, but yeah, if you want to do something, I'd just dive straight into it. Like I would never have thought that I would get to here without a uni degree, but it just goes to show that like if you really want something so bad, you learn to do it and like you'll make it happen. I'm very much like, if I want something, I'll go for it. And I need it now.
Yeah.
Like I need it right now. So yeah, I just go head first.
Yeah. Horns in.
Yeah. Horns in.
Oh my God, Dylan was telling me.
Shout out, Dylan.
It's honestly horns our in. Favorite line ever.
Go horns in.
I was going to say, in regards to the hustle aspect, because I know a lot of people know that you just don't stop working all of the time. How would you kind of present that to someone, or say, you know, how do they find a balance between work and life, and how have you gone to manage it well?
Well, I guess with business, like you only get out what you put in, really. And I think that reflects as well, like even with in terms of sales, like if you don't post for a day, you're probably not going to make a sale. But if you post, like you're more than likely to make a sale. I'm very much a routine person, probably not so much in the recent months because like housing and everything has been all over the place. But when I was in my proper routine, like I would get up like this. Everyone doesn't have to do this because it's a hard gig, but I would get up at 4 a.m., go to the gym, and I just kind of like, it was just my priority. Like I just wanted to like get everything done before 7 a.m., have a really wholesome routine. And then I would be like working from like 5 a.m. to, I mean, like with the studio, I kind of like treated it as it was like a 9-to-5 job sort of.
Yeah.
So then when I would come home, and that's another reason why I did want a studio, because I wanted to separate it from like home life. And so, yeah, I would just set myself a rule that at like 5 o'clock, that would be it. And I'd come home and I'd just leave work there. But lately everything's just been so hectic. Like it's crazy. Like I'll be replying to messages and DMs and emails for like an hour and a half before I go to bed. So I don't know. You can always, like, you're always like finding that balance, but yeah, it's just like, you can give yourself freedom. Like right now, like I've just extended for a week. I'm like, I have so much work to do, but it's like, you find time to do it. Like even Taylor and I, like overnight we'll be having a tea and just like smashing out work on on emails.
Yeah. I think people misunderstand with working for yourself versus a 9-to-5. You're working the same hours just when you want.
100%.
If not more, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's been some like midnight time, like ending at midnight, like, and even today, like with Taylor and stuff, like we went to the beach all morning and then it got to like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and it's like, okay, let's go wrap orders, let's go work. So it's like when you work for yourself, you kind of just, you have that leniency, but yeah, I'm definitely, it's hard for me to stop. So
it's cool. Work ethic out of the world.
There you go.
It's hectic.
Love that. Oh, sweet. Well, was there anything else you wanted to add or speak about? I feel like we've covered
a lot.
We've covered a lot.
How long have we been running for?
Yeah, that's what I was asking.
It's been about, I think this will be almost 40 minutes.
Amazing.
So 35, 40.
Good content.
But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. It's been awesome hearing a bit about your process and your plans.
Hope you enjoy Perth and WA.
So good.
You guys are going to have a blast this next week.
I know. I'm so keen.
Margs. Where else are you going to hit down there? Margaret River. Do you know any of the other spots? There's Dunsborough and Busselton. There's some other cool stops along the way.
Anything with blue water, rocks.
Yeah. Got to hit like Mill Up and stuff.
Taylor was saying that. Yeah, for sure.
They're not coming down with you?
No, we are. Yeah,
they are.
So they're coming down.
Oh, you have
down.
Some good tour guides then. Cool.
Yeah, but I'm keen to like send Rotto again and like
do
the whole
the
whole island.
We're on a mission to get the whole East Coast over on the West.
I mean,
it's working so far.
I reckon
we're convincing a few.
WA tourism
for sure. Yeah,
yeah, we Sponsored. Are tourism.
Yeah, literally.
Well, we want to come back over in May? Didn't you say May for X-Men? Like, it's a good time to go to X-Men.
During the winter, it's
up north.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm super keen for that.
Amazing. Well, thanks, guys. Cheers for listening in.
Thank you. Let's go for a sunset.
See you soon.
Yeah.
Sunset.
We're on.
Hangs.
We're on.
See you guys.
See you guys.
Bye.